appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning and stand in need of your prayers. And again, my prayer always is that through me or in spite of me, the Lord will bless each one of you with the blessing that He knows you need, the needs of your heart. The Lord knows those, I don't, certainly. And so if a message gets through to anybody, it has to come by direction of the Lord. So we beg for your interest in your prayers. This is what they call Palm Sunday, and I'm not preaching on that today, but I just make reference to it. That's a note in the world, and if you go back and read, I believe it's John 12, where Jesus makes his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. They laid palm trees down from him to honor him and coming into town on the back of a colt or donkey. And so he came in, and they honored that with palm trees, so this is known as Palm Sunday. My problem with that is I don't think it happened on a Sunday. I think it happened on a Friday. It happened five days, I'd have to look it up, but 4 or 5 days before Passover. The Passover is on the following Wednesday, and so to be that, it'd have to be on a Friday. I don't believe it happened on a Sunday, but it happened. that's the way that the world looks at it, so I don't have any trouble with recognizing those historic events. I wish people would be a little bit more accurate with them and count them out better. So, anyway, what I want to talk to you about today, I'm going to begin. I've got several scriptures that I want to try to show my kind of the theme or the basis of what I want to talk to you about. And the first one is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we know the Apostle Peter stood up with all the other apostles on the day of Pentecost. And he made this, delivered this wonderful sermon, a wonderful sermon about how Christ died and died for our sins and now sits at the right hand of God. And he gets over here into verse 37, I believe is where I'll go to. When he finishes this deal, finishes this great sermon, it says, now, the people that were listening, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That means it resonated with them. Something touched them. You know, they may not have understood everything, but something touched their heart. It says, when they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, all these people that heard this great sermon looked at Peter, looked at the apostles and asked this question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, this is a great sermon. What are we supposed to do? What do we do now? And Peter answered in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He tells them they must repent. Told them, repent and be baptized. Over in chapter 3, Peter is out speaking again. Peter and John are out. This is Peter speaking. And in verse 19, he says again, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about repentance and conversion. Be converted. Repent and be converted. Those are two doctrines I feel like that are very misunderstood in how they work, because I got off on this because, you know, I've been driving this last week a little bit, and I'll get off on, you know, I hear these. I'm a news listener, so I listen to all the news about Ukraine. And there's lots of stories about Ukraine and the atrocities going on there and the cruelty going on there. And I'd hope we would pray for those people in Ukraine who are suffering from that. But as a part of that, then they go off on the side about the different theories people talk about. And they got off into a discussion of some ministers about what was going on there. And some of them said, well, this is a sign of the end of times. It means the world's coming to an end. And they started quoting from Ezekiel and Matthew and Revelations about this is the end of times and the particular scriptures they were quoting, and I'm going, I don't think that's necessarily what those scriptures refer to. I'm not an end of time specialist. I'm not anywhere like Brother Gale or Brother Kenny here this morning and knows the end of times and the Revelations, but I don't believe that's, you know, things like wars. We've been through a number of wars, and, you know, we always, every time we have some great historic event, we have these end of time prophets and prognosticators who always predict that this is the end of time. It may be. I don't know. I don't have any idea, because I go over and Jesus told us one time, no man knows the hour, not even the angels in heaven, My Father only is the only one that knows the end of time, the day that the end of the world will come. So I don't get caught up into that. But then when they start talking to it about, they start quoting from these scriptures, and I've written about that part of it in the Banner of Love this month, which is out on the table. But if they start quoting these and say, well, it's the end of time, and they said, well, you know, what do you do with something like this? And they said, well, first thing you do, you got to repent, convert, and get yourself born again. That's what you got to be. Don't afford it, because it's the end of time and it's going to be too late if you don't get it done now. If you don't repent and convert, and that's what even they quoted Apostle Peter saying, boy, you got to repent, every one of you, and get baptized, you know, unless you convert yourself. But we have, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But first of all, let's look. We got Apostle Peter preaching this, that we've got to repent and convert. Go back up here into Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to go through two or three things, and it's the same. I just want to point out same thing before I want to start talking to you about what's going on here. Back up into Matthew chapter 3. First preacher we had, Baptist preacher, John the Baptist, came out in chapter 3 of Matthew, and it says he came preaching in the wilderness. And verse 2 says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He talks about, well, you know, I'm here to preach to you and baptize you, but I'm not the one. I'm not the one you're looking for. He's coming after me. We get over here, and he introduced Jesus, and Jesus begins his ministry. He's baptized by John the Baptist, and he's got his followers. In Matthew 4, in the next chapter, verse 17, and from the time Jesus began to preach, beginning with Jesus preaching, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we've got Peter preaching that repent. We've got John the Baptist preaching repent and be converted. Jesus says you got to repent. Skip over in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus is asked a question about greatness. His apostles were questioning him about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. In verse 3 of chapter 18, sorry, he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and come as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same shall be considered be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus again preaches and says, you got to be converted here. So we have repent and conversions keep showing up in their preaching as one of the basic themes of their preaching. Get over here in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus is naming his apostles. He names his apostles 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I won't bore you in that. And then he sent them out. And verse 12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Now we got the apostles preaching it. So we got Peter preaching it back there. That's probably the most well-known of that. Everybody knows that's in the Day of Pentecost sermon. John the Baptist is preaching it. Jesus is preaching it. And now we've got the apostles preaching this. They're all going out and preaching that you've got to repent and be converted. Now let's talk about this a little minute, because, and then I listened this week to the preacher saying, well, then the way you do that now, you repent and you convert and you get yourself born again. That's how you get yourself born again, is going and repenting and converting. Now, and that's all you hear. And you hear that stuff, and you not only, it's any time there's an event, I've learned, any time there's some kind of dramatic event like this, well, you'll have the end of time preachers come out, and that's always the theme. They'll use any type of an opportunity to tell you, you got to get yourself born again. And the way you do that is you repent and you convert. And go through that little process, or say something in your heart, or say something to the minister or whatever, and that's how you get born again. Well, you know, first of all, I'll say, and y'all, I hope we preached, Brother Gale, Brother Kenny and I preached enough that you know you don't do anything before you get born again, and how you get born again. But I'm over here in the book of James now, where James is preaching. I lost my glasses. James is preaching in chapter 5 of James. And he's, first of all, look who he's speaking to. Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He keeps calling them brethren throughout of this. He's talking to people who are already children of God, already the elect. He mentions it several times. Verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven. And he goes on, and he gets over here, and he gets to verse 16. He says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, if any of you, and he's preaching to members of the church, people who we assume are elect or the called of God already, calling them brethren, throughout here, and he says, but if any of you err from the truth, and another person converts him, doing so, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So if Brother Gale thinks that I'm going off into error, and he comes and converts me, then he's just saved my soul and hides a multitude of sin. He's just saved my soul. Now, that sure sounds like we're soul saving by being, doesn't it, repenting and converting. Now, that's what's preached, and that's what's being preached today, and I heard it a lot, more than I wanted to this week, on the radio. Part of it on a major news program when they went over and conferred with some of the ministers that were saying that this deal in Ukraine is the end of time. And, of course, what you got to do when it's end of time, you got to get yourself born again so that you can be saved before it's too late. But repenting and converting. Clearly, as they say here, repenting and converting is something that we need to do. Let's talk about that a minute. What is repenting and what is converting? Repenting is a committed apology, I guess I'll say. Let me put it in layman's terms. You're apologizing to the Lord. Lord, I have sinned. And, you know, and I've repented my sin. I'm sorry. I was wrong. You know, and I'm repentant of that. Repentance is the words, the commitment to change and do better. Conversion is the actual action which puts repentance into effect. I mean, I can go out here to Brother Jesse, you know, and I can say, Brother Jesse, you know, I know you and I have been having troubles, and I've said some bad things about you, and I apologize. That's like a repentance. I apologize. But if I go right, turn right around and go over to Brother Tim and say, you know what Brother Jesse's been doing? And I go right back into doing the same thing and telling stories about him, then I didn't apologize very well, didn't I? I certainly didn't put it into action. If we repent and we don't put it into action by converting, then we really haven't accomplished what the Lord and Christ and all the apostles have told us to do. You got to repent. That is a commitment that I'm going to change. Conversion is the actual change. That means you change from what you were doing and change directions. We got to repent and convert. Repent means I know what these things I've been doing was wrong, and I want to repent of them. But if I go right back in to keep doing them again, anybody ever do that? Anybody ever say, I'm going to change, I'm going to do something differently? And then I go right back and find myself doing exactly the things I said I was going to not do anymore? Anybody guilty of that other than me? We got to repent and convert. We got to do both of them. According to the scriptures, according to the teachings of Christ and his apostles, all the apostles, we got to repent and convert. Now, convert means to turn. Turn and go the other way. Completely change and turn. So that you quit doing the things you said you were doing. Now, are we successful at that? Apostle Paul says, I keep trying to do the things right, but when I'm trying to do right, I keep doing the things that are wrong. I put that in my words. In the book of Romans, he says, you know, I say I'm not going to do something, then I turn around doing exactly what I said I wasn't going to do. Anybody else got that problem? We do that? If that is what it takes to keep you out of heaven, then I'm in a lot of trouble. Because I've been known to repent. Now, sometimes I think I'm sincere about my repentance, and I'll quit doing it for a while. Kind of like the man said about smoking. Stopping smoking is easy. I've done it 3 times this year. You know, that's kind of the way I am about some of the things that I need to repent of. I'll repent, and then I'll go right back to doing them just out of habit and not really converting. I haven't really made a conscious effort to convert and turn around. Well, what role does this play in our eternal salvation? Well, first of all, y'all know this. I'm going to be like Peter here. I'm going to put you in remembrance of things you already know, but we got to keep doing that so that we know the truth and we understand it. Let's go back to the starting point, and I'm going to go to an easy place that all of you know, Romans chapter 8. It's just an easy place for me to go and talk to you about this. Romans 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those things that they work good for are those people who are already the called. Because then he goes and he gives us a list of 5 things. And this is simple, and y'all know these. For whom he did foreknow, He knew you before you were born. He knew you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. He foreknew you. Those he foreknew, he predestinated you. All this is before the foundation of the world. He knew you and he predestinated. He predetermined your destiny. He predetermined whether or not you're going to have eternal life. He predetermined, that's what you do with it, what predestination means. Predetermined your final destiny. He foreknew you. He predestinated you. He called you. Now that's when you're born again. You go read John chapter 3 where it talks about you must be born again before you can see. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And that's talking about, by the way, seeing, actually seeing something that's spiritual. It's a spiritual foresight. It's not talking about anything that we do. We have no control over that. And you go read that carefully, especially get over into verse 8 where he says being born again is done by the Spirit and it's like the wind. We have no control over it. The wind comes and it goes and we have no control over it. Don't see it coming. But it said he foreknew you, he predestinated you, and he calls you. Now, he determines all of those, and he goes in and says, and then he justifies you and he glorifies you. He justifies your sin. That's when Christ died on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, God foreknew you. He knew who you were, who you're going to be before you were even born. Pre-knowledge. He had superior knowledge to any of us. I can't put that in my head how that worked, but I believe it. He foreknew you. He predestinated you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. And sealed that book, it won't be open until the end of time, and not a name will be added, not a name will be taken out. He calls you in time through the Spirit. We learned that in John chapter 3. He calls you. Now, he determines the time, the manner, and the place. The Spirit does when you're called. Some of us may be called very young. John the Baptist was called while he was still inside his mother's room. Other people may be called at the last minute. We err sometimes when we think somebody, we're trying to make a judgment of who's a child of God and who's not, because we don't know when they're called. They may be called very late in life. We know that the Apostle Paul was born again, called, regenerated, probably on the road to Damascus. Nearly everybody agrees with that. John the Baptist, while he's still in his mother's room, Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, you know that story. How much control did either one of those two men have over being born again? How much control did they actually have? Did they go decide they were going to get reborn, regenerated, be called? No. They had no control. And the world will tell you, well, but those were two exceptional men. And so there's exceptions. They were truly historical men. We go read John chapter 3, and over the end it says, when they were born of the Spirit in the same way the wind comes through and does it, it says, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There are no exceptions. We're all born of the Spirit exactly the same way. And that's by the God when he says he's calling us. And then Christ came down here to perform his work on the cross. He died for our sin. That's when we're justified, because he justified us with his death. He was the sacrifice for us and justified our sins. And then when we die, we go to heaven, especially in the rapture. Again, I don't know the timing and all this, how it works, but clearly by the time we have the rapture and Christ comes back, we'll be glorified. We'll be glorified spiritually, but at some point in time, we'll be put together back with our bodies and have glorified, perfect bodies that don't decay anymore. So that's the five things. Who does those? God does every one of those. And, you know, he starts off the pre-knowledge and the predestination all occur before the foundation of the world. The justification happened when Christ died for us on the cross. Excuse me. There'll come a time when we'll be glorified. All five of those things are done by the Lord. You have no control over any of them. Y'all know this. But I want to just make this point and make sure we've got it right. All five of those things are God's work. That's not our work. Being born again is not our work. That's God's. Now, with that in mind, where does repentance come in? You know, repentance and conversion. Repentance and confess. Repent and confess to each other. Convert each other. Go help convert somebody else. That stuff just takes place here in time. It's clearly our work to do. That's the work that we're supposed to do here in time. But we know that, excuse me, I'm getting in two microphones. But we know that when it comes time to do repentance and conversions, who can do that? Well, again, y'all know 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, the natural man, unregenerated, cannot do spiritual things. You know, the Spirit doesn't have any impact on him. It's foolishness to him. he's spiritually discerned. He doesn't understand. You preach the gospel to him and he doesn't understand what you're talking about. Has no understanding of that. Excuse me. John 8:47 says the natural unregenerated man cannot hear the gospel, cannot hear. And John 10:26 said you can't believe the gospel. 1 John 4:19 says you can't love God until he loves you first. We can't do anything spiritual until we're born spiritually, and God's in charge of that. So can I repent before I've been born again? No, I don't understand what that means. I can try to go apologize, you know, or that kind of thing, but I don't really understand what true repentance is with the Lord. I can't repent, I can't convert until I'm a child of God. So number one, it has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. It has a lot to do with the blessings in this world, but it doesn't, and in day to day, but it doesn't have anything to do with your eternal salvation. To repent and be converted. It tells us there's great blessings that come from that. Let's go to 2 Peter. We'll emphasize that point. Again, 2 Peter, first chapter, just to emphasize this point. Again, Apostle Peter starts off preaching in verse 1 of 2 Peter. He says, you know, I'm a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, and he writes this letter to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm only writing to those of you who have faith. Where do they get faith? They get it from Christ. That's what he's saying. You obtain your faith from God and the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not writing it to anybody else. I'm not writing it to those people who don't have faith. I'm only writing this letter to those of you who have faith, which means you're already among the elect, you're already among the born of God. He goes through this in the first four verses, tells us all the blessings that the Lord gives us. Again, it's all the stuff the Lord has given us, starting with faith. He gets to verse 5 and he says, now, add to your faith. Now, this is where our works start coming into play. After you've got faith, after the Lord has given you faith, after he's called you, regenerated you, made you born again, now, this is when we start to work. When do we do that? We do that after we're naturally born. We do that after we're here in this world. We do that timely. It's time to go to work. Time to repent and confess, be converted to your sins, and do the works he tells us here. But he points these things out when he tells us, now add to your faith by doing this. Give all diligence to add to your faith. Be diligent about it. Add to your faith these things, virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. He gives us a whole laundry list, and there's a great sermon there. I think I've heard Brother Gill preach on that about what each one of those mean. And it's really good. That's a good sermon, but I'm not going there today. But he tells us all these things we need to do, all these works we need to do. And he says, now, if you do them, you'll be blessed. You won't be barren. You'll be blessed and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do the works that Peter's encouraging us to do, and over there he's already encouraged us to repent and confess and be converted. And you do these things, then you're going to get blessings. You're going to get great blessings from that right now. You're already a child of God. He's already acknowledged that. You're a child of God because that's the only people I'm talking about. People that are child of God. You know, I don't know any of you here. I don't know who's on the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't think you'd be here this morning, though, unless the Lord has pricked your heart and brought you to church to try to learn more about the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you're not an elect, a child of God. Now, that's gospel by Richards, but I've been given the blessed assurance by Apostle Paul that if you're here, you're a child of God. If you're going to church and praying, you are a child of God, so you're born again. Now, what's our duty if we've been born again? Our duty is to do these things. He tells us if you do them, you're blessed. But then he makes a distinction here. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You're a child of God, but you don't put your faith to work. You're not diligent about doing these things, then you're blind and you can't see afar off. And a lot of people will say right there, that shows you've got to do works in order to secure your eternal salvation. No, because he goes on and he says, you're blind, can't see afar off, and you have forgot that you were purged from your old sins. You have forgotten you were purged of your old sins. That's what happens to you when we're a child of God and we don't add to our faith. We don't go to church. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray. We don't do the works and the things that he's told us to. We don't try to become charitable and godly and have brotherly kindness and have virtue and knowledge. We don't do any of those things. then we're blind and can't see far off, and we forget that our sins were purged. You forget about it. You lose the blessings of that security. You know, we have, the Lord gives us not a doctrine of fear, and that's what I've seen going on lately. If you don't get in there right now and get yourself born again and repent and confess, then when it's going to be too late and you're not going to be able to get to heaven. You're not going to be able to save yourself. We don't. Your eternal salvation is already done and finished. That story is written, and you know the ending, and the ending is good. That's a great story about eternal salvation, but you've got the benefit. You know the ending. And the ending is great. It's better than great. It's fantastic. It's fabulous. It's heaven. You know that. Now, what do we do between now and then? You do the work that Christ calls us to do. This is the direction He calls us to. He tells us to repent and convert. Repent means whatever you're doing that's not right, I'm not going to church, I need to repent of that, and I need to start going to church. Now, repenting and conversion is the work of man. Because it's the work of the man, first of all, let's say, God has done those five things we talked about, and God's work is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He did all this before the foundation of the world. He did it. He did it right. If He wrote your name in the last book of life, it's still there and it's not coming out. It's there. His work is perfect. Now, I understand that now, okay, I'm saved. He gave me eternal salvation. But I am supposed to repent and convert. Am I good at it? I'm terrible at it. Man is not good at doing the works he's supposed to do. Especially things like repent and confess. I'm not good. So sometimes repenting and confessing and converting is a little messy on the part of men. Not only do we have to do it once, we got to do it twice. I may have to do it three or four or five times. Throughout my life, I have to do it pretty regularly. We're talking about, but when we do it, we save ourselves from a lot of problems in this world. We save ourselves from being blind and can't see far off. We save ourselves from forgetting that our sins were purged. There's a lot of things that we need to do in the direction of God, and that is, you know, we need to take care of the poor. We need to love our neighbor. We need to love the Lord first. Then we need to love our neighbor as yourself. We need to, you know, feed the hungry. We need to take care of the sick. We need to visit those in prison and those that are sick. We need to clothe the naked. You know, there's a lot of things we do. There's a lot of that going on in Ukraine right now, and I really applaud the efforts I see of a lot of people going out of the way to help those people. That's what we need to be doing. And we need to repent and confess and convert. We need to repent of what we're doing. If I'm not going to church, I need to repent. I'm preaching to the choir here because y'all are all here. But there's other things in my life that I need to repent and convert of. I need to repent and convert about how I treat my fellow man. I need to repent and convert. If I'm not studying enough, I need to repent of that and say, Lord, I'll go study more. And what I need to do then? I need to actually go study more. You know, I might convince Brother Gale back there that, yeah, I'm studying a lot. I can convince him maybe. I can fool him. I can't fool the Lord. You can't fool the Lord. You can repent and you can tell and you look good on the surface, but the Lord knows whether you're actually doing both of those or not. If you're repenting and converting. Those are important works. They give you great blessings in this world. They let you see things that are going on that you couldn't see before. So He lets us, gives us great ability to see, not only to see what we're doing and understanding, but we should pray for when we repent and convert, then we're doing His will, and He'll honor us for that and bless us for that. Now, the reason it's repeated in here so many times is we got to keep doing it. Unless you're better than me, I'll forget that I ever repented of something because I'll go right back to doing it again and again and again. The error of my ways. I want to go here to Luke chapter 13 and clear up another misconception here. Luke chapter 13, Jesus is talking here. He's talking to His apostles, but He was speaking to some Galileans that are there. Galilean is up the Sea of Galilee. They'd come down to Jerusalem. They were present at that season. Some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, we don't know exactly what happened here, but the Galileans apparently came down and tried to make sacrifices in the temple at Jerusalem, and Pilate had them killed because they were out of place down here in Herod's temple, and he had killed, and we had some blood mingled, their blood mingled with the sacrifices. And Jesus answering said, you know, and of course the people thought, You know, somebody dies, they've done something wrong. Somebody gets punished, they've done something wrong. And so the people asking him, well, what did these Galileans do wrong? And Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the other Galileans because they suffered such things. He said, you're supposing, because that's what I've got, that's written in the King's English there. He said, you're supposing that these Galileans were punished because they were greater sinners than anybody else. We don't need to get in the judgment business. We don't need to get into determining when something happens to somebody, is God punishing them or not? You know, we could say that about these wars and all these type of things and whatever else is going on in the world. We try to make judgments sometimes and say, well, God is punishing them. And God says, don't assume, don't make those type of assumptions. He says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Now, that's not talking about eternally. That's talking about timely, like these guys who died there. He said, you know, if you don't repent, certain things could, you could suffer those too. Don't make a judgment about what your sinners worse, your sin is any better or any worse than anybody else. That's what he's telling us. He says, but unless you repent, you shall be likewise perish. Are these 18, now he's talking about another incident that took place in Jerusalem. But I've heard these two verses quoted, verse 4 of chapter 13 of Luke. Of those 18 upon whom fell the Tower of Siloam, when it fell, it killed 18 people. And how they think that they were sinners above all other men that dwell in Jerusalem. He's pointed up two incidences here, these Galileans that were killed, and one of the towers around the city of Jerusalem, around the wall, fell over and killed 18 people. He said, you're assuming that those 18 people that died because they were sinners. He said, don't think that. We're not to get into that judgment deal. But he's telling us, but don't think like that. But he says here, but I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said that twice. That's not talking about eternal salvation. Let's talk about our timely salvation. Your repentance, you can't repent unless you know to repent and understand to repent, and you've got to be a child of God to have that knowledge and that understanding. So that's another one, the verse that I heard was used a lot. He's really saying, don't assume you understand what's going on there just because you see somebody die. You know, we've had this in the world about we have people dying. He'll say, well, that's God punishing that people. That's God punishing those people in Ukraine. That's God punishing those people who dies in car wrecks. You know, the Lord says, don't go that. If you'll remember now, I spoke here a few weeks ago about the blind man. You know, and Jesus came and found the blind man, and the apostle says, all right, who sinned? Either he or his parents, because he made him blind. Jesus says, you're assuming that he sinned, and that's wrong. He said, neither of them have. He said, they were made blind that the power of God might be manifest. You know, and I've used that to say, you know, well, wait a minute, Lord. I'm blind, and you've kept me blind since birth so that you could prove a point. Yeah, he may do that. Don't ever assume to understand what God is doing and what his purpose is that he has for us in our lives. We should say wherever we find ourselves, we should say, Lord, for what purpose would you have me use this? How can I use this to manifest your glory in some way? I'm going to go to chapter 2 Chronicles, and this you know too, but I think this proves a point too. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, Solomon had prayed a prayer, and the Lord came to answer it. And you're all familiar with it, but let's talk about it for a minute. The Lord came to answer it, and the Lord told this to Solomon. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, convert from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Start off right at the first, like we tried to do a while ago. Right at the first, he said, if my people, I'm talking about my children of God, the elect. your place in heaven is secure. He's talking to you when he says that, but he says, now, what I want you to do, if you'll pray, if you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Those are all things we need to do to get the blessings that he's promised. We got to do a certain amount of work now, even though we're a child of God, if we want the blessings today, the forgiveness of his sins, the healing of him hearing us. Sometimes, you know, I pray and I think, Lord, I don't even think the Lord's listening to me. He tells us here, he makes us an absolute promise here. if we don't want him to hear us and do it, he said, if my people shall, and my people, that's you, talking about you, a child of God. This has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. He's telling you, you've got eternal salvation when he calls you his people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear you, I'll forgive you, and I will heal you. That's what he's asking us to do when he says, repent and convert. Turn from your wicked ways. We've all got problems in our life, or you're different from me if you don't. You know, and I repent, and I'll try to repent. I try to do it. I think about it on a regular basis. Think about those things that I'm doing wrong, how I'm not treating my fellow people around me right, how I'm not doing the things the Lord would call me to do in the church, how I'm not doing anything in my life. I need to repent from those things that are wrong, that the Lord has instructed me otherwise. If I'm out there trying to work and make too much money, Brother Kenny and I talked about this morning, so I can build up great riches in my warehouses, and I'm doing it for the benefit of getting more. If I've got $1 million, then I want $2 million, and then I want $3 million. I'm doing that. That means I've got the love of money in my heart. No, we should do it for the right reasons. We should do it to repent and convert and do it so that we have, if we use that money to do the work that he's got for us to do, then he'll bless us. You know, I've learned it's hard to outgive the Lord. Sometimes I've gotten myself in financial trouble in this world because I've made some dumb mistakes or I've done some things. I've tried to dedicate myself to making more money so I can do well, and I've gotten myself in financial trouble. It was never because I gave too much to the church. Never. It's always because I gave too much to the things that I desire in this life. That's what we've got to repent and convert from. Now, you know, am I worried about the war in Ukraine? Yeah, I am, sure. What we need to do, pray for that. Pray to the Lord if it's his will to bring us peace. Pray to the Lord that if it will, he will intervene in the hearts of people. We know he can turn the hearts of kings, and that's what he needs to do in this case if we would have him do that. I mean, I'm not telling him what he needs to do. But, I mean, if we would want peace there, if we want people to be helped, then we need to pray. You have more power in the power of prayer than you ever would. We have no control of what's going on in Washington. We have no control of what's going on in Russia or the Ukraine. But he tells us if we will humble ourselves and pray and convert, turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, then he'll hear our prayers. Number one, you have the ability to pray directly to God. That's a great power that we're not using enough of. At least I'm not. And he'll hear us. He'll forgive us of our sins, the sin that I did yesterday and this morning and probably this afternoon. He'll forgive those. He's already forgiven me eternally, I hope. I have assurance he is. That's because my spot in heaven, I hope, is reserved for that reason. But I'll sin before the day's over with, and I'll sin tomorrow, and I need to repent from that and convert and turn from that. And like I said, because I'm in charge of that, that's my job to do that. I'm going to make some mistakes, and I'm going to not do some of the things that I should do, and I should repent again when I figured out I should repent and convert. That's what repentance and conversion is about. It'll give you blessings in this world day in and day out, today and tomorrow. I appreciate your kind attention. My prayer is that the Lord richly bless each